إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank him and we bear witness that there is no deity except him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. May Allah, peace and prayers be shed upon him, his companions, his household and those who follow him until the day of judgment, ya Rabbal Alameen. Today we are going to talk about the most important subject in this whole existence, which is the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah has 99 names, 100 less one. Whomsoever understands these names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him Jannah. Now, it is not only Jannah. I mean, if this is the only hadith that was narrated that talks about how to get to Jannah, then knowing the 99 names would be enough. But there are so many other hadith that tells us how to go to Jannah. We should add up all these hadith together to have a full picture of how to go to Jannah. For example, a man will come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, tell me about something that will take me to Jannah. So the Prophet, depends on the situation and depends on the condition of the guy, he tells him something. So if he has a trouble with his neighbor, he says, if the one who has good relationship with his neighbor. Somebody else says, tell me how to go to Jannah. So the Prophet ﷺ looks at this person. This person is not paying enough charity. He's stingy. The Prophet tells him, the one who gives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so forth. When we add up all of these things, those are the ways to go to Jannah. But when the Prophet, someone asks him, he's not going to list him and say, five pillars of Islam, five pillars of Iman, and this and this and do's and don'ts. No. Just one thing, and our job is to add up all the ahadith and Quran that talks about the subject, and we understand them all together. So we aggregate all the ahadith and the ayat that speaks about a specific subject, and we understand them together. We develop understanding of them together, not in conflicting with each other. So, there is a note, it is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a dua that tells us that Jannah, the names of Allah, are not only 99. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us to teach, to make a dua. As'aluka bi kulli ismin huwa lak samalta bihi nafsak aw 'allamtahu ahadan min khalqik aw istaghfarta bihi fi 'ilmin ghayb 'indak. We ask you with every name that you have, either you didn't tell us about, or you told somebody else about, or you have it unknown to anybody. We ask you by all these names. However, how to put this with the hadith that says we have 99 names? The 99 names are the ones that we can relate to, that's important for us, that needed for us to go to Jannah. But the remaining of the names that are not related to us, it's not going to help us. If they are going to help us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have revealed to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go to Jannah. He wants us to know him, so we go to Jannah. Because when we know him, we go to Jannah. He wants this. So he works and he provides us with a lot of things that will make us know him so that we go to Jannah. I'll give you examples. We all know the example of the guy who killed 99 ones. Okay. When this guy who killed 99 ones went to a person who worships Allah all the time, secluding himself, worshiping Allah, and he asks him, can I repent? He said, no way. You killed 99, repent, no way. So he made it 100 by killing him. And then he went to a scholar, knowledgeable person, and said, I killed 100 people, can I repent? He said, yes, of course. The doors of repentance of Allah is never closed and they are so wide to whatever wrong things you get. So make repentance to Allah and Allah will forgive you. And then he told him, there's another town. This town that you live in here is a bad town. And everybody knows you as a bad guy. And the gangsters are here. So there's another town, which is like, let's say, few miles away, that you need to go to this town and have a fresh start. So when he was started traveling towards this good town, he died in the way. He died in the way. Now, the two kinds of angels came down to claim him, to claim his soul. The angels of mercy said, he already has repented, we're going to get his soul to mercy. The angels of punishment said, no, he never did anything good. He didn't pray any rak'ah. He didn't do anything. All his life are just killing and murder and bad deeds. And we're going to take his mercy to the punishment. To take his soul to the punishment. So they kept arguing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to judge between them. And the angel said, okay, we measured the distance between his place of death and the bad town, and the distance from his place of death to the good town. We measure these two distances. If he is closer to the good town, he goes to Jannah. The angels of mercy pick up his soul. If he is closer to the bad town, then he goes to hellfire. The angels of punishment will claim his soul, will take his soul. So now, before they start measuring, okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the wind to move his body near the good town. So the final ruling was that he goes, Allah covered him with his mercy and the angels of mercy took his life. Now let me ask a question. Why would Allah do that? Why would Allah make it happen in such a dramatic way? Why didn't he just make the angels of mercy take him to Jannah and that's it? Why? Why make it happen in this long distance and short distance and measure distance and about that? Why? Another scenario that also will is similar to this is that when Allah wanted to prescribe the prayers, so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up. We know the Mi'raj, the heavenly, the ascending journey, heavenly journey, and Allah had given him 50 first. So while he was going down, descending down, he met in the heavens, he met Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa said, what? 50 prayers? There's no way your people are going to be able to make it. Go back and ask for reduction. So he went and he asked for reduction. So Allah reduced it to another number that I don't know, but let's say 30. So he said, 30? What? This is too much. I know the children of Israel. I've experienced them. 30 is no way, impossible. Go back and ask for more reduction. So he went back and asked for more reduction. Allah, let's say, gave him 10. So he met Prophet Musa, and Prophet Musa said the same thing. So he went back to Allah. Allah said 5, and the ones who do the 5 will get the reward of the 50. So while he was going down, descending again, Prophet Musa met him. So he said, I am shy. I can't ask Allah for more than that. Question. Allah knew that it is 50, it's going to be 5 prayers. Why didn't he just give Prophet Muhammad straight 5 prayers and that's it, not? Why did he choose to make it in such a dramatic way? Why not just tell Muhammad 5 prayers and the ones who do them gets 50 and that's it? This is another example. A third example, and before actually we get to the third example, the whole purpose of that, Allah wants us to know him, to recognize his manners and to recognize his names of mercy and generosity and kindness. He wants us to know that. If he would forgive the guy and go to Jannah, the guy who killed the 100, if he just forgives him and take him to Jannah right away, we would not be able to learn the lesson, which is tells us about the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most forgiving. But in order for us to learn that, Allah made it such a way. Measure the distance, move the body with the wind, is to show us that he wants us to go to Jannah. And if he's biased towards us, he's in our favor, he's not out there to get us. No, he loves us, he wants to go to Jannah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zumar, that when you do something good, he is pleased. When you do something that will take you to Jannah, he's pleased. When you do something that you take to hellfire, he's displeased. So what pleases him is to give us to Jannah. But we are the ones who chose. Everyone writes his own book and wrote her own book. So the same thing can be understood about the prayers. Allah wants to show that he has so much merciful, so much kindness, that he brought the prayer down from 50 to 5. If he would tell Prophet Muhammad 5 right away, then we would not recognize that. But he made it in such a way so that we recognize his mercy. A third story is the selection of the angel of death. All angels hated to play the role of the angel of death. No one of them wanted to be the angel of death. Why? Because people would hate that angel and curse that angel. Every time they lose a loved one, they were just going to curse that angel of death. And would hate the angel of death. And would always say bad things about the angel of death. So no one of the angels wanted to take this job. So Allah gathered the angels and he said, okay, I want to get a cut of clay from the earth. I want to get a piece of clay from every kind of soil on earth. Gather together and bring it back here so that I create Adam. So he wants to create Adam. He wants all kinds of soil so that the children of Adam are diversified, like different colors, different shapes, different race, different. Basically different DNAs, each kind of soil, sort of. So he sent the first angel. The first angel came down, one who was approaching the earth to cut the pieces of clay. The earth got very scared. So the earth said, Ya Allah, I seek your protection against this angel. So the angel got scared. The earth is asking protection against him. So he made a U-turn and went back to Allah. So now Allah is asking him in front of everybody, why didn't you bring a piece of clay from the earth? Now, Allah is asking so that he learns the answer or for us to learn the answer. Allah is asking for us to learn the answer from the mouth of the angel. So Allah is telling him, Allah asking him, why didn't you bring it? So he said, Ya Allah, and of course you know better than what I'm going to say, but you know better that the earth asked for protection against me. So I didn't dare. So okay, fine. He sent a second angel. Same thing happened. Third angel, same thing happened. Then he selected the angel of death. Sometimes some people say his name is Azrael, but there is nothing that confirms that. So let's say the angel of death. So now he sent the angel of death. The angel of death was approaching the earth. So the earth did the same thing. I ask for the protection of Allah against you, angel Azrael. So he said, whether you ask for protection or you don't ask for protection, I will never disobey Allah. And he attacked the earth and he grabbed pieces from everywhere and the earth was so scared, but he didn't care. He did what Allah asked him to do and he went back to Allah. So when he did that, Allah said, then I am appointing you the angel of death. Now, because the angel of death will attack the body, and whether the body asks for protection or non-protection, the angel of death is just not going to disobey the order of Allah. It doesn't matter what your soul is going to say or do. Ya Allah, ask protection against the angel of death, the angel of death will not care. Will grab your soul from your throat and take it out to heaven. So Allah said, I am going to appoint you as the angel of death. Then he started weeping and crying. He said, Ya Allah, you know better. They are going to hate me. They are going to curse me. I'm going to be the very ugly in their eyes. He said, don't worry. I am going to cover you by the natural causes of death. So Allah covers him with the natural causes of death. So when somebody dies, we say, okay, he died because of a heart attack. That's a natural. We never say, oh, he died because the angel of death, because that bad angel of death. Did you ever hear anybody cursing the angel of death? No. Why? Because he died in a car accident. He died, heart attack. He died, even if we don't know the reason, we say he died for Allah's cause. We did not even say he died because the angel of death at all. And exactly what Allah promised him is happening now. But the actual truth is that this person is dying because the angel of death has in his books written that this person has to go at this time. Now Allah covers it up with the natural causes of death so that people will never think about the angel of death. Even if you know this story and say, I'm going to remember the angel of death and the next death, Well, in the next event, well, when people lose their loved ones, they don't think. They don't think about the angel of death at all. So that is why Allah made it in such a way, to show that He is the most wise. He is, if He didn't do it that way, we would always wonder, and the angels would always wonder, why did He pick up on this angel and not other angels? Why did He do that? But now the angels know, and we know that the nature of this angel of death is the suitable one for taking the life of people. And so many stories like that. For example, when Allah asks us a question, He is asking us for us to hear the answer directly from the mouth of the person who is talking. For example, when He asked about the stick in the hands of Musa, He knew that it's a stick. So He said, "What's in your right hand, Musa?" He said, "This is my stick. I use it in shepherding. I use it to kneel on, again, on to help me walk. I use it for other stuff as well." Now, why did He say that? I mean, Allah knows, of course, it's a stick and He's using it for this and that. He said that because Allah wants us to hear from the mouth of Musa that it's a stick and it's a normal stick. There's nothing different about it, just like any stick. Helps you walking, shepherding, and all of these things. Normal stick. Then Allah said, throw this normal stick. Throw the stick, not the normal stick. But we know He wants us to hear from the mouth of Prophet Musa that it is a normal stick. And many things like that. For example, happens to us. You drive your car, and you're about to get in a car accident, and in the very last second, you avoid the accident. What do you say? Immediately you remember Allah. Alhamdulillah, it didn't happen. So Allah wants to get your attention. Allah wants you to start remembering Him, to start thinking about Him. If you live in a luxury and fulfilling, luxurious life, you're not crying as much to Allah. If Allah wants you to cry with a burning heart, Allah will give you a disaster or a bad thing. And then you cry, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, take this away from me, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And you keep begging of Allah. Why is He doing this? It's for you to get to recognize Him. It's for you to know Him. Because once you know Him, you go to Jannah. You know His names, the 99, you go to Jannah. And that's what He wants us to know. That's why He wants us to know about His 99 names. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Now there are many kinds of names of Allah. The most famous one is to divide the names of Allah based on, we say these are the names of beauty and these are the names of greatness. The names of greatness are the ones that only Allah deserves to be called these names. Nobody else on heavens and earth qualifies for these names. If you ever treat someone the way you treat Allah, or the way Allah should have been treated, then you committed shirk, association with Allah, shirk. If you think that anybody else can share one of these names of greatness with Allah, then you have committed shirk. Example, Al-Quddus, the one who is infinitely pure, pure from everything. He is the infinite pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Aziz, the most mighty, the defeater of all. He can defeat everyone, nobody can defeat him. Al-Jabbar, the ones who compel people to do things, the one who compels everybody else and nobody can compel him. Al-Khaliq, the one who creates. And Al-Ali, the one, the highest one, no one is above. Al-Kabir, that he is the greatest one, nobody is greater than him. Al-Jalil, that the greatness of power and glory, he is the one who owns power and glory, Al-Jalil. Al-Wasi', the infinite, the limitless, the infinite one. Al-Halim, no, that's not. Al-Hakim means the one who is very wise, who does this, the right thing in the right place, for the right time, for the right guy, or for the right people. Al-Haqq, the absolute truthness. The truth itself is Allah. Allah is the truth itself. Al-Haq. Al-Mubdi, the one who started everyone from nothing, from zero, from null. Al-Mubdi, the one who beautified his creation and made it very beautiful. These are called the names of greatness, okay? Nobody can be called any of these names at all. Now, the second kind of names are the names of beauty. The names of beauty are the names where Allah wants you to follow. They describe the manner of Allah. And Allah wants you to follow these names. For example, the most Ar-Rahim, the most merciful. And He wants us to be more merciful with one another. So He wants us to follow this manner. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَحَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, means follow the manners of Allah, which come from these names of beauty. Al-Wadud, the one who seeks the love of his creation. Allah wants us to be loving to one another. The patient, Al-Halim, the one who is very patient. He doesn't jump to conclusion. Very patient. And He wants us to be very patient with each other. Al-Latif, the kind. Allah wants us, He's the kind, and He wants us to be kind with each other. And Al-Kareem, the generous. Allah wants us to be generous with one another. And the Al-Nafi', the provider of benefits. Allah wants us to provide benefits to one another. Al-Muqsid, the most balanced or the most just, and Allah wants us to be just and fair to another. Al-Hadi, the guidance provider, and Allah wants us to help each other, guide each other. Al-Rashid, the ones who direct or provider, and Allah wants us to direct each other to the right path, not to the strong, not to the wrong, crooked path. Al-Sabur, the one who is very patient and He wants us to be patient. Al-Afu, Afu means erasing the sins. It's not like Ghafur. Ghafur means the sins are there, but He's going to forgive them. Afu means the sins are wiped off. So it would be as though they never happened. You would forget the sin. The angels who are watching you would forget the sin. The sin would be erased from the book of deeds. And the witnesses would be made to forget the sin. So it's like it never existed. That's Al-Afu. But Al-Ghafur means the one who forgives. So the sin is known, the witnesses are there, and Allah will forgive it. But it is there and still in the record. Allah wants us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow these manners. Then some of the names of Allah, they have to come in pairs, because it does not fit that these names come alone. For example, Al-Mudil, the one who misguides. Okay. You can't say Al-Mudil by itself. No, it has to be preceded by the Hadi. So you say, Al-Hadi, Al-Mudil. So Al-Hadi, the guidance provider. Al-Mudil, the misguidance provider. But you can't say Al-Mudil by itself, because it indicates something negative. So you can't say it by itself. Al-Rafir, Al-Khafid. You can't say Al-Khafid, the one who lowers the status of people, by itself. You have to precede that by Al-Rafir, the one who elevates the status, followed by the one who lowers the status. Al-Basit, Al-Qabid, the one who gives. Al-Qabid, the one who takes, restrains. So you can't say Al-Qabid by itself. It has to be preceded by Al-Basit. So Al-Mu'ti, Al-Mani', Al-Muqaddim, Al-Mu'akhir, Al-Nafi', Al-Dar, Al-Mu'izz, Al-Mudil, Al-Muhyi, Al-Mumit. These names have to come together. You can't separate them. You can actually use the good side, because the positive one, which is, for example, Al-Mu'izz, you can use this by itself. But you cannot use Al-Mudil by itself. You can't use the word, the Mu'izz, which is the one who provides power and ranking and high ranking. You can use it by itself. But if you want to use Al-Mudil, which is the opposite, you can't use it by itself. It has to be combined by the good one. And finally, there are differences between some names are different than the other. For example, they might look similar, but they are different. For example, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. What is the difference between Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim? Many scholars provided many answers to this. The first answer, they say, He is Rahman in this dunya, and He's Rahim in the hereafter. How? Because in this dunya, He gives benefits to the one who deserves it and to the one who doesn't deserve it. To the good guys and bad guys, they give benefits to all, no restriction. So who is He's Rahman? Because He provides benefits to the ones that he doesn't want, he doesn't like, the wrongdoer, the bad guys. He provides mercy to them. He provides mercy and benefits to them in this life. So he's a Rahman in this life. And hereafter, he's a Rahim. He's going to provide benefits to the one who deserves it. If you don't deserve it, no benefits, zero benefits. So that's why Rahim. We notice that the form, you can say that, if I may try to use a simple English word, you can say that Rahman is Subar Rahim. That's the Subar Rahim is Rahman, which is called Sighat Mubalagha, in Arabic it's called Sighat Mubalagha, where you change the form, for example, a liar and progressive liar. It says a liar and a super liar. Okay, a good and a super good, kind and super kind. These are two forms. And many of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into this form. For example, other than Rahman Rahim, there is the names of by the way, you can call your somebody Rahim. That's a good name, it's not haram. You could call somebody Rahim. Rahim without alif lam. Kareem without alif lam. The names of beauty of Allah, you can just take the alif lam and call it to people. But Rahman, you can't. Because you can't call anybody Rahman or Rahman. Because that's a name of greatness. Whether you take the alif lam or you don't take the alif lam, this is a name that explains the nature of Allah. There are names that are there to explain the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is He? For example, I'll just give you one example. There's a name called the Razzaq, and there's a name called the Raziq. Al-Raziq is the provider, supplier. Al-Razzaq is the super provider, super provider. Now, and super supplier. Now, Al-Razzaq is a name that describes the nature of Allah. He is Razzaq, that's His nature, that's who He is. He's a Razzaq. Al-Raziq describes the action that will depend on the nature. So because He is a Razzaq, He provides rizq. Because His nature is a Razzaq, the super provider, He provides rizq, which now He becomes a Razzaq, a Raziq. So a Razzaq, His nature, a Raziq is His doing. Now, the names that describes the nature of Allah are not subject to His will. In other words, that's who He is. There is no, I will to do this or I will to do that. No, there's no will there because that's His nature. But the names that describe the action is depends on His will. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Razzaq. He can, if He wants to be Razzaq. If He wants to be, He's a Razzaq. If He wants to be Razzaq. He is a Razzaq, that's for sure. But if he wants to be a Razzaq, he will be a Razzaq. If he doesn't want to be a Razzaq, he might not. He chooses to be not a Razzaq. So doing the action is up to him. But his nature has nothing to do with his will. And there are many other things, but I will stop here. اللهم انصر الإسلام وعز المسلمين وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين وانصر عبادك المؤمنين الموحدين يا الله help us defeat our temptations help us follow your manners help us understand your names and implement them in our life يا الله help us يا الله be good people qualify us for Jannah give us your mercy and forgiveness and give us عفو يا رب العالمين erase our sins يا رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل ادعوا الله أو ادعوا الرحمن أيما تدعوا فله الأسماء الحسنى ولا تجهر بصلاتك ولا تخافت بها وابتغ بين ذلك سبيلا وقل الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Sincerity and acceptance.